You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, welcome back to Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. And we have a special guest with us today, Matt Hayes. Works with us at 1010XL, so we talk a lot of Jags, but you also write for Tradition and Saturday Down South, yep. College football, so you're very engulfed in the college football world, which helps us because, Matt, I don't know if you know this, but the Bears have the number one overall pick.
We talk about it sometimes around the office. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not.
So that's why we're here today, but before we get into a little bit of the draft talk, I want to talk about some of the comparisons that the Jags and the Bears have right now in this offseason compared to what the Jags had last offseason. For example, a good amount of money. The Bears have first overall pick, 8 total draft picks. They're confident that the quarterback is their quarterback, even though there's some rumors going around that maybe they're going somewhere else. But one of the things that really stood out to me, Matt, that helped the Jags big time this last offseason is that Balke and Coach Peterson nailed their free agency.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think really helped this season tremendously? Yeah,
well, I mean, I think it's been proven now in the NFL that you can increase the value not only of your franchise but of what you put on the field within a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be right decisions in free agency. It's got to be right decisions in the draft. If you look at draft, the last 2 years in draft, these drafts that Trent Baalke has had, and he had been criticized for years.
Major, yeah.
About his draft problems. And in addition to the free agency, but more so the draft. And they nailed almost every one of them.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are down on Devin Lloyd. Devin Lloyd's going to be a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chad Mumma's going to be a really good player, too. So I think they've nailed almost every one of their draft picks. And then free agency, you know, I was as big a critic as anyone about those receivers.
Yeah.
I was saying they got all number 3 receivers here. Mm-hmm. They don't have any ones. You know, they barely have a 2 in Kirk. And they go out there, and Evan Engram has the best season of his career.
Yeah.
Kirk has a career season. Zay Jones has a career season. Trevor Lawrence starts to ascend like we all knew he eventually would. He becomes the quarterback they thought he would, and then everything starts to connect there, you know, midway through the season when they're 3-7. Can that happen with the Bears? Of course. The Bears are very good defensively, are significantly better than the Jags were
last year.
With their back-to-back, right, with their back-to-back bad, you know, first overall picks, which, by the way, you guys now have 3 straight years of first overall picks in your fandom. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah. Yeah. Between the Jags and the Bears.
Between the Jags.
Number one, number one, number one.
Straight.
But the Bears didn't even have a number one pick last year. So they've only had one number one pick, I think, in the last 4 years, the Bears. And granted, one was because of, I think it was Khalil Mack. We lost one. Mm-hmm. And then, not Trubisky. We did lose one because of Fields. So the draft for the Bears hasn't been this exciting in a really long time.
But here's another thing, too. I forgot to say this. The Jags also were helped by, they're in an advantageous division.
Mm-hmm.
Not unlike the Bears. Because if Aaron Rodgers leaves and goes to the Jets or wherever, I mean, that division's, I don't care what you say, the Vikings.
Kirk is going to Kirk.
I mean, there's Kirk.
Goff, the Lions, like, which are, Goff is showing up.
The Lions are looking exciting, and there's new things coming there. And it's definitely, like, everything's on the rise, and they have all the opportunity in the world. But the thing is, like, you can have all the opportunity in the world, but you got to do it right. And the Jaguars did it right. I think a move of theirs that doesn't get talked about enough is the signing of Brydon Sheriff and how I feel like he just came in and lifted the entire offensive line. How important do you think he was to this Jaguar season?
Leadership more than anything.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player. He's a solid player. He's not the player he was before. There's no doubt about that. But I think he's a solid player. I think he's a guy that if you're talking about, you know, they really needed Juwan Taylor to play well this year. And you start talking about, all right, well, he's got a guy right next to him who's done it for more than a decade who's just a baller.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he's not at his same level of player or not, he's still a guy that knows how to prepare week in and week out consistently, and Juwan can follow that. And I think Juwan played well because he had a guy that knew what he was doing next to him, a guy that knew how to play well and knew what it was like to play at an elite level. There's a lot of things. It's a great point that you bring up, Dylan, because there's a lot of unseen things that happened on this team where all of a sudden they got better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Josh Allen's a great example. He won 8 games without a sack.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just clicked for him. And I think a lot of these guys were never in a situation where it was November and December and they were playing games that were meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then they start to think, wow, we actually have a chance to go to the playoffs. And you can say it's you go out every week and you play every week and we're going to play hard every week. But when you have something to play for, it's different.
Yeah.
It's really different. Yeah, I think the Bears can turn around. Of course I do.
And that's what, to me, I get the freak out because there are a lot of holes. But that's what I just keep pointing back to with the Jags, because I was like, the Jags this time last year had a billion holes also, where they're like, how are we going to fix this in one offseason? And they're coming off the disaster of Urban Meyer. And with six guys, you can say, because Evan Engram, Kirk, Zay, Sheriff, Foye, and Fadukasi in the free agency, it was a big change. And then obviously, yeah, you're adding guys like Luke Fortner, who had a really good season, and you have obviously Devin Lloyd and Trayvon, but
Doug Peterson or Urban Meyer.
And Doug. Yeah. Doug helped big time. Doug helped big time. But it's to me, so many people are freaking out in the Bears world, like, this is gonna take 3 years. And I'm like, I don't think if they do it right, it's not going to take 3 years.
It seems like every single year there's a first to worst in the NFL. Or worst to first, rather. Right. And like it's very well, I could see the Bears having the opportunity. Yes, I mean, it does matter what happens with the Packers and what the Vikings are doing and all that stuff, but yeah, they have the chance, you know, to build something here very quickly with all this, it's cap space or it's draft picks, and not to mention, like, we could get even more with this trade coming, so it's crazy.
And hopefully with the trade down, which, go ahead.
No, I to Dylan's point, I think the NFL's made that way, number one. Mm-hmm. It's made that way where teams can turn quickly. And number two, I think this is what everybody forgets, too, is this is the elite of this sport in this game. And there's a reason why Roy Robinson Harris all of a sudden started playing really well.
Yeah.
Why Fadukasi, while he was hit and miss with the Jets, all of a sudden started playing really well. These guys start to get in a situation where they feel like, wow, this is unique here. Let's see what we can do. And it's funny you guys talked about, you know, the coach and everything and how it's a long haul. Doug Peterson was the guy who said it from day one. This is going to
be a while. It's a
while.
Process.
It's not something that's done overnight. And the next thing you know, they're literally a couple plays away from playing in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, yeah.
So it can be done. If you get the right things happening and everything clicks together and you get a couple breaks like the Rayshon Jenkins return for a touchdown against the Cowboys, like the late touchdown and 2-point against the Ravens, a lot went right for them. But why can't a lot go right? You're playing with the elite of this sport, and if they get to the point where they start to feel it, and then they play to their ceiling. I truly believe with the Jags, every one of those guys was playing to their ceiling by the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
There were no guys that were out there just going around trying to go through everything. They were all playing at their ceiling.
I agree. This Bears offseason is huge. And it's huge in a lot of ways, because also a lot of people are going to be questioning the Justin Fields decision if it doesn't go right this year. You know, right. Like, we saw a lot of progress from Justin in almost every aspect. Unfortunately, we weren't able to see. He had, I think, almost half the amount of attempts as Trevor Lawrence did, passing attempts, but it just wasn't there. Pass blocking was terrible. Wide receivers were actual 3s and 4s for the most part, so there was a lot of problems.
3 and 4 might be generous for some of them.
Yeah. We have ways to fix this. So, Matt, obviously we're here to talk to you a little bit about the draft, because there's a couple names sitting at the top of that board that are SEC guys, of course, because we're going to see a lot of SEC guys in the draft, but Mel Kiper just did his draft recently and has the Bears staying at 1, taking Jalen Carter. Tell us about Jalen. What's his strengths? Is this worth a number one pick if they were to stay there and take him?
Yeah, he is. He's a big, strong run stuffer who also is a guy that's really dangerous as a pass rusher on the interior. Those are rare. Those guys are like Aaron Donald guys. Those are rare dudes. He's really athletic, and I think the best thing about him is he doesn't like take plays off, whereas with Jordan Davis, it was always, you know, Jordan Davis, a former Georgia star defensive lineman who is with the Eagles now, right?
Yeah.
It was always like, you know, every once in a while, it's like, where is he? Where is he for the last quarter? It's not that way with Jalen Carter. And Jalen Carter also played a majority of the season hurt. Mm. So not a bad injury, but he was dealing with a knee injury.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to take a one overall and you're not going to take an edge like Will Anderson, you're going to take an interior guy, yeah. I mean, Jalen Carter's a fantastic pick. If you want to trade down, you could trade down and probably still get him at like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could get Brian Brzee, who's a terrific player too from Clemson, as an interior guy. So there's guys. The ends, actually, in this draft, it's going to be the
loaded.
The most deepest ends draft in a long, long time.
Yeah, and that's what we did with Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and he was saying edge is the deepest by far. I think 18 or 19 in their top 100 are edges, and then corner is their other. We don't not as worried about corner. That's why, to me, I think this Jalen Carter thing is so important, because, like you said, that help in the middle, which I noticed a lot too during the season, he was getting double teamed a lot and was still creating pressure on the quarterback, which that's hard to do.
Yeah. I hate to make comparisons. He reminds me a lot of Calais Campbell in the way that he's a tall guy, but he's also very athletic, and he's long, and he's going to take double teams, and he's going to make the guy outside of him a better player because they're so worried about him on the interior.
Yeah.
When it comes to comparing Carter and Anderson, obviously, like, they are different players, and there's different styles, and they do different things. Would you say that there's an edge one way or the other? And I do you think it's going to come down to more, like, it's just the kind of style Ryan Poles is going to want to build with his defense, or it just could be more like, I'm just picking the best player?
I mean, you watch the Eagles in that championship game, man. Wow. Those dudes coming off the edge.
I know.
Will Anderson's like that. He's that type of edge guy that he's not going to be a drop and cover guy. He's good. If he gets an odd front where he's basically playing the stand up outside linebacker, and at times he may have to drop, that's fine. But his job should just be go get the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does best. If that's what the Bears want, the Bears need a guy that's going to give you, again, this is for a rookie saying 10 sacks is ridiculous, but he's the type of guy that I think is disruptive, not only in the pass rush, but he's shown it in college where he disrupts games.
Yeah.
He disrupts running plays. He disrupts schemes. You have to go away from him, which is what everybody started doing midway through his sophomore season when he had, I think it was 36 total tackles for losses. They just weren't going near him.
Yeah.
And he was still chasing and making plays.
I love that.
So, yeah. So if you're going to ask me, like, who would I pick? Mm-hmm. If I'm picking one person that's not a quarterback, I would pick Will Anderson.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people drift that way. It's funny because I'll watch film of Will Anderson and I'm like, man, I want him. And then I'll watch film of Jalen Carter and I'm like, okay, I want him. Like, they're both just so.
For me, it's whoever I watch last.
Yeah.
It's really that
and
tight.
I think it will depend big time on what they do in free agency, obviously, because Daron Payne is a name that's kind of floating around. So if you do something like that, obviously you're going opposite because you're not going to get both. But the Bears have the least amount of sacks last, which is so weird. Like, that's one
so
thing
bad.
We've always had as a defensive line that are getting to the quarterback, and they could not last season. So I just think it's so important to have a guy like Will Anderson because, like you said, he's disrupting everything.
Yeah.
Every part of that game, every part of the quarterback, he's disrupting. So when you're looking at it, when you're just looking at – because you also Brzee, that's how you say it, right?
Brzee. Ryan Brzee.
So he's another one because obviously it's also going to depend what the Bears do. If they trade down, let's say, with the Colts to 4, I think the opportunity to get Jalen or Will is still there. But if they go any farther, if they go to Raiders or Oakland and they're at 7 or 9, it's probably someone more like him. What is the gap between that Brzee and Will and Jalen?
Brian Brzee had a knee and he missed a majority of his, I guess it would be a sophomore season. He's a really, really good player. Another guy who chases.
Mm-hmm.
I love the guys that play in the interior and chase. And he's a big disruptor. I will say this to you, and I think not enough teams do this. The Bears could easily trade out of that 1 to 4,
mm-hmm.
get the Colts futures.
Yeah.
Then trade those futures to get back up into the 10.
Yeah.
Then at 4 you get, maybe Will Anderson drops to 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's quarterbacks that people need.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the big need. Will Anderson drops to 4, you get it at 4, you trade up to like 8 or 9, you get Brzee, or heaven knows if Jalen Carter doesn't fall to 9 or 10. Then you're walking out there with Will Anderson and Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
So if I'm the Bears, I'm thinking, look, let's get picks, get our guy at 4 who we want more than anything,
mm-hmm.
and then use the other picks to move up again and get somebody else that can really, 2 guys in the top 10 that will make immediate impact.
Well, and obviously because of that, we have to talk about the quarterbacks a little bit because Bryce Young and CJ Stroud obviously are the 2 names that are atop the list. There's people like Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, both getting a little more traction. Do you see them possibly rising in the combine to the point where there may be that 3rd quarterback at the top people want?
Maybe. I mean, the thing with Anthony Richardson, and you guys know this, you've watched him play, you're here, he's going to go to the combine and he's going to wow them.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to wow them in his pro workouts. He does things away from the game, physically, athletically, arm talent, where you're like, wow. But the thing is every one of these guys has egos, these coaches, and they all think, I can make this guy, I can change him. And would I be shocked if he went in the top 10? Not at all. Because he's just... Somebody will say, are you kidding me? We got to take him.
Yeah. He's fast, he's strong, he's mobile.
Would top 5 shock you?
That would shock me. But top 10 would not. Like, if someone traded up to 9 or 10 and got him, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah.
Levis is different. I think Levis played really well his junior year, and then last year their offensive line was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrible. So there was no protection. And he had two really good receivers, two freshmen that are going to be great picks in a couple years. But they couldn't protect, and he was getting killed. And so it looked like he had a season of regression, but he really didn't. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player.
Something that always kind of weirds me out is you see a lot of players, and I think Anthony Richardson is a good example of this, when the football stops playing, they go up in terms of draft status.
Right.
And like, I remember when Anthony Richardson was declaring for the draft, people were just like, oh yeah, like maybe the 20s, early second. And now like, I feel like a lot of people are just like, he's for sure a top 10 pick. How much do you think the teams value the projectables rather than the actual performance in college?
With every other position other than quarterback, it's almost 90%.
Yeah.
95%. With quarterback, if you've got the ability, there's always a guy who thinks he can make you a starter in the NFL. Always a guy who thinks that. Because the position is so rare as far as, can I get a guy who makes an immediate impact and who can make players better around him, who can lift a franchise, like Trevor Lawrence is doing?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a guy like that? Can I develop a guy like that? And he's got, physically, he has everything. He literally has his height, his weight, his arm talent. The run is even, it's crazy. He's in the 4.4s,
mm-hmm.
and he runs like a tailback, or a running back, I guess what they call it in the NFL. I think people will see him, and to your point, Dylan, they'll say, yeah, he looked like crap in that game. But you know what? On that throw, he looked really good. And they'll give more weight to the throw than the game.
Yeah.
Because they think we can make him do that all along instead mm-hmm. of this crap.
Yeah, I think a good example of it working out is a guy like Josh Allen. You know, because he was someone at Wyoming who like had all of the, you know, like the measurables, the potential, all that stuff. But like when he got to the NFL,
very similar, yeah.
It didn't look super great right away. And obviously, you know, over time they changed him, but it took some time. So I'm just super excited that everyone's fallen in love with Anthony Richardson, because that's just another quarterback, you know,
yeah,
flying up to the top of the boards.
Yeah,
because
it's another one that somebody needs.
It's pushing
yeah.
someone down for us.
Yes.
So that's kind of really all I care about at this point.
Yeah, when you're talking about, because you mentioned immediate impact, obviously if you're talking about, let's say, Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, do you think both of those guys are ones that would come on this team and be able to play at an NFL level right away?
Any team in the NFL. Oh, yeah. And play well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because obviously that's something you want to look. We saw the little bit of a slow start with Trayvon and with Devin Lloyd, but they really started to pick up throughout the season. I think some of that, obviously, they didn't know where they were playing either of them
right.
in the beginning, so they kind of had to figure that out. And these are two set guys where they know exactly where you're going to get when you get them. But obviously, another thing the Bears need, wide receiver. And there's things floating around that hopefully if you trade back, you can still end up in those early 30s or even use some of those picks to come back up into the 20s or something like that. Quentin Johnson, a name I'm seeing get up the kind of rise up the boards a lot. And then another one, Jordan Addison. But obviously JSN is a name. I think he's going to go a little too high for the Bears. But what wide receivers do you like in this draft that the Bears could potentially get if they did move up into the 20s or so?
You know what's funny is I think the only receiver that I see in this draft where you're going to go, all right, that could be like a Jamar Chase or Jefferson type, a guy where you're like, okay, he could give you, or an Olave or you know, Wilson type player that can give you 60 catches and 8 touchdowns. I think Jackson Smith and Jib is that guy.
Okay.
And, you know, he missed an entire season. Chase sat out of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
He opted out because he didn't want to deal with the COVID stuff. And I think people are forgetting what this kid was like last year when he played.
Yeah.
And I know scouts aren't, but I think people generally, like the, you know, the NFL draft guys, the, you know, the Ryan Roberts, who I love Ryan Roberts, mm-hmm. Ryan Draft, and I'm not singling him out. All those draft guys, I think, forgetting what he was like last year at Ohio State, that he's an elite player. He's a top 5-7 guy. He'll go through his individual workouts, and you wait and see. Suddenly, he's going to rise quick.
All the way up.
Yeah, so you're not buying he's going to be a third receiver rumors or anything
no.
that people are saying.
No. God, no. No, yeah. I think he's elite. I think he's a really, really good player. But if I'm the Bears, frankly, if I'm the Bears or anyone else in the NFL that's trying to turn, I got to look at what the Jaguars did and Christian Kirk. And I mean, who's picking Zay Jones? Who's signing Zay Jones last year? Evan Ingram?
Zay Jones' whole thing, his whole career was like, man, he has all the potential, but he's never been able to break through that potential, and he did this season. How much is that connection with Trevor and Trevor just taking this massive leap also, which is what we're hoping with Justin also? Like I said, we saw absolutely crazy runs from Justin Fields, and we even saw some absolutely insane throws where we're like, man, if he just had guys to throw to consistently, this will be major change. But yeah, I think a lot of Bears fans, we need a veteran wide receiver, because you need somebody in there that's kind of able to like get the whole wide receiver corps together and say, all right, like, I'm the guy. Maybe I'm getting double teamed. That opens up some other people. I can get these 50-50 catches, all these contested catches. And so some of the names, obviously, Hopkins is one of the names that they're looking at.
What's he, 30 now, 31?
Yeah. I think he just turned 30,
yeah.
Something like that.
And someone like that, a little older, a little bit of injury issues, but when Hopkins is healthy, it's a different world, you know? And then obviously there's some chaos going on in Tampa, who knows? So Mike Evans and Chris Godwin could potentially be. So I think a lot of Bears fans are hoping for someone like that, because the free agency wide receivers are not great at all this season. But we said the same thing kind of last year. I remember there was a couple, like the big names that went, like an A.J. Brown, were like via trade.
Right.
The Jags getting Christian Kirk, everyone lost their minds because they paid him $18 million. And then now it looked like a pretty good move.
Yeah, now it looks like a smart move.
Yeah.
There are guys, that position, there are guys out there you'd rather draft and develop because you have him for 4 years on a rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you can get guys that can, I mean, here's a great example. I mean, DJ Chark's going to be available. He signed a 1-year deal with the Lions.
Yeah.
He's a guy that a ton of potential.
Mm-hmm.
His second year here was terrific.
Yeah.
You get him there, I could easily see him being this type of Zay Jones guy where he gets in there and you think, well, you know, he kind of shown a little bit, but you don't really know what he's got. And then boom, he gives you 60, 70 catches and, you know, 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. And you're like, whoa, here we go.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I think he's a guy like that you could use.
How tall is Chark? He's
6'2".
Okay,
something like that, yeah.
Right.
Something that I've been kind of wondering is, from an outside AFC South perspective, the two teams that everyone's been talking about recently has been the Texans and the Colts. Todd McShay, to the point recently, a couple of days ago, was just like, they're going to have a bidding war, essentially, to who's going to be able to drop ahead of the other one. How much are you enjoying that as Jags fan, watching all of that go down?
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's not us this time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Jags fan in this city, I mean, it's not only the chaos in the division, it's my God, you know, we actually have a coach here now. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
Yeah.
And we have a coach general manager situation where they seemingly like each other.
Yeah.
And they're working well together and they're drafting smart. That's the key. They're drafting smart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go over all the drafts from this franchise and they're terrible.
Yeah.
But the last two drafts,
anyone left from the previous draft.
Yeah, you literally have, in the last two drafts, you have 9 guys that are going to be literally cornerstone guys for the next 3 or 4 years where you can grow and make that deep run in the playoffs. And if you get a couple more this year, what do you got, pick 24 and pick 52, I think it is, something like that. I mean, you can get 2 guys, two legit guys that can help you again, and 2 more guys that, again, are on 4-year deals.
Yeah. I know, and that's what I think personally. So Ryan Poles didn't have much to work with at all in Chicago last season. I think they had $25 million, 5 draft picks going into the draft. He turned 5 into 11. Guys like Jaquan Brisker, who had a great season,
right.
Kyler Gordon, rough start, got better. Braxton Jones looked like it was going to be a little rough. One of the better, he made the like all rookie for the left tackle, and getting thrown in as a left tackle rookie, that's not easy. And he held his own for a lot of the season. So I'm confident in Ryan Poles just because with bare minimum last season, he was able to really draft well, even some undrafted guys. He got Jack Sanborn, guys like that who really played out, but it's so important. And like you said, if you can nail it, it could be a quick turnaround. You just have to do it right. You have to do it smart. You have to go after the position that you need. Don't listen to the chatter of like, that guy's not worth it. You may have to overpay some guys because you're a franchise that hasn't been winning much. So people want a little more money to come there because most guys want to go win. And that's the bottom line. So before we let you go, Matt, give us a few names that you like in the draft that maybe people don't know too much about or that you see rising a little bit.
That people don't know too much about. Well, I'm going to give you one guy who people know all about who I think is going to be a great player. And starting now through the next 3 months, you're going to hear people break him down.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Young's going to be a great player in the NFL.
Really?
A great player. And I know.
Say it louder so they can give us a lot of picks.
Yeah. He's going to be a great player. And I know he's only 5'10 and a half, 5'11, and I know he's only 190 pounds, but you cannot look at a guy the way he throws the ball with anticipation, the way he sees the field. And here's another thing. They gave up 70 sacks the last 2 years, Alabama did.
Wow.
70.
That's not an Alabama offensive
no.
line right there.
No. Not only that, who on that? So his first year had 2 great receivers, and Jameson Williams and Mechie. They had nobody this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he still was literally their defense getting 2 stops away from being in the playoff and being the team that more than likely is playing Georgia in that national championship game.
Yeah.
So he's like a phenomenal talent that I think is going to get just chopped up, just absolutely chopped up over the next 3 months because he's not the right size.
Yeah.
He's going to get hurt. He's going to absorb too much punishment. He's not thick like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's a thick, small guy. He's a thin, small guy. No, he's, I mean.
He's trying to put on weight.
That's the that's a real dude.
So, I mean, the important question now is Bryce Young or Justin Fields?
Here's the thing I have with Justin Fields. I saw him play really well in college, and I know there's a big difference between playing well in college and playing well in the NFL. The question I have with Justin Fields is he in the right system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they just going to continue to allow him to run the ball that many times? Because if you do that, he's going to get hurt, and that's going to be the end of him.
Yeah.
So I think they've got to get him in either a different situation with a different philosophy of what they're doing offensively of, hey, man, let's keep you in the pocket. Let's move you in the pocket and then throw the ball like he did at Ohio State. And then if all else fails, then you can run and get 6 or 8.
Yeah.
We don't need you to go 40.
Yeah.
Just get 6 or 8 and get the first down. If you go 40 because it's there, take it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, he's a really good thrower, and he just seems miscast right now in that offense. Every time I watch the Bears, I was like, what are they doing?
Well,
hard to see what they're doing. Yeah. They don't have a philosophy.
I think the problem is nothing else is there. You know, it's just like he has to do everything if they want to do anything.
And that's what we saw the offense was completely dead the first like 6 weeks because they were trying to make him be able to pass and it just wasn't working because he was getting sacked 4, 5, 6 times a game.
Nobody's getting open. Same problem with the Jags and Trevor.
He had to make those decisions so quick or he's getting hit. So then the week they played the Patriots, they were like, all right, let's shift this a little. And so they watched Lamar tape is what they said they did. And they went back. And after that, we were scoring 30-plus points a game because it was working. But then all the receivers started getting hurt. Our line, we had, I think, 10 or 11 different line formations because we could not stay healthy on the offensive line. And so that didn't help either because none of those guys had played together every week. It was different.
He's not Lamar.
No, he's not Lamar.
They're totally different players.
Yeah. He can pass better.
The ball.
Yeah. And then that's what I think this year, that's why to me, like, obviously offensive line and wide receiver are so important. The defense was atrocious last year, so obviously I want to fix that too. But to me, if you give Justin like a little time, and we saw that there was one game this season that he wasn't sacked, and I was like, this is beautiful. Like, this is what it's supposed to look like, you know? So I do. It's frustrating, though, to watch, but there's hopefully they fix the line, and hopefully they get him a wide receiver or two, because I'm sick of hearing that narrative of like, he can't throw. I'm like, did you watch him in college? Like, he threw the ball. He wasn't a runner in college unless he had to, you know? And so that's what's amazing to me is people, I guess, didn't watch him in college.
The problem is he's always going to be compared to Trevor.
Yeah.
And Trevor made that ascension in year two, and he's still back here. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to stay back there, but what it means is if they pass on Bryce Young and the Colts go up to one to take Bryce Young and boom,
Bryce
all
Young
of a sudden they're winning
amazing.
8, 9, 10 games and he's playing well, then it's going to be, what did you guys do?
Yeah. And that's, I know that's going to be a narrative I really think that Justin's going to take another leap this year. Like, he already did from 1 to 2. Yeah. It's not a Trevor leap because he wasn't given the opportunities and resources that Trevor Lawrence had this season. And Trevor Lawrence was already known to be
the
more, Trevor Lawrence was already known to be the more ready quarterback. That was the thing that was said. Like, he's ready to start in the NFL now. There's a reason Justin kind of dropped back a little bit. I don't think most Bears fans are comparing him to Trevor as much as they're saying, like, he's better than Zach, he's better than Mac, he's better than Trey, at least at what we're seeing right now.
And
in those eyes, it's a win for us.
Yeah.
So I think that's how they're looking. Obviously, it will suck if in, like, 5 years, Justin's, like, good but not great and Bryce Young is, like, going to the Super Bowl. It's going to suck.
Obviously,
but I think we'll also look back at it and be like, you know, we thought he was a guy. Like, it wasn't like we took a chance on Mitchell Trubisky or Blake Bortles. Like, it's a guy that's supposed to be a guy.
Yeah.
So, anyways, thanks, Matt, for hopping on with us. It'll be a fun off season, and we'll get to a little more draft talk in a minute.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free.
Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks to Matt Hayes. Obviously, Matt works with us here at 1010. He is the host, one of the co-hosts on XL Primetime, which is our midday show. But like I said, he also covers a ton of college football, so that's his world. We even have a show here that he hosts on Saturday called, like, Saturday Kickoff.
Something like that.
The name changes.
It's pretty much just a college football show.
Yeah, but they just preview the games that are happening that day. So Matt is very well versed in the college football world. That's what he loves and that's what he likes to do. So thank you to him. So I was just telling you, Dylan, that some breaking news came out, and in this breaking news, so Patrick Mahomes Sr., who is obviously Patrick Mahomes' dad, was on 670 The Score today and told them that the Bears told Mahomes that they were going to draft him at number 3 overall in 2018. His dad said he thought he was going to be a Bear. And then they traded up and took Mitchell Trubisky. A little bit of a dagger. But I think that obviously at this point in time, we're happy to have Justin Fields. Would we like to have Patrick Mahomes? Like, I think anybody would like to. I don't think there's a single person out there that would say they'd rather have their quarterback over Patrick Mahomes. Maybe some of the people that are Bengals fans may
Joe Burrow. The only situation I could see it is, like, if a quarterback's just been there for a while and has already established himself as, like, a stud, and, like, you just have a personal attachment to the guy. But, like, objectively speaking, there is not a single quarterback in the NFL even close to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, right, and I don't even think at this point people would say they'd want Tom Brady over Patrick Mahomes.
I'd want to, there's a lot quarterbacks I'd want over Tom Brady, or I'd rather than Tom Brady right now.
And we were kind of chatting about it a little bit when as the news broke, and you mentioned, you know, like, but would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes if he would have got drafted by the Bears? Because it was a disaster in 2017,
it was a complete disaster.
Our wide receivers were absolute no names. The defense wasn't good. The offense was even worse. Mike Glennon was the starter. Ended up getting benched for Mitch. 2018 was great. Like, you could kind of make an argument that if Patrick Mahomes was on the Bears in 2018, would they have gone to the Super Bowl that year? Well, we couldn't control Cody Parkey making field goals still, but
I don't think we would have had to count on
a field goal.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I do think that a lot of people say that Mahomes did benefit from sitting for a year.
I think he did a lot, and I do think a lot of people don't recognize, like, the Chiefs were a Super Bowl ready roster that needed a quarterback.
Especially offensively.
Needed a quarterback. And, like, they had just dominated their division every single year. Mm-hmm. They'd always win the division, losing the first round of the playoffs. You know? That was a kind of their MO for a couple years there. And they were able to plug a quarterback in and actually, you know, raise the ceiling of that team. Throw Patrick Mahomes and the Bears, it would have been terrible. It would have been really bad. You know, the team sucked. In 2017, John Fox had a very poor system going on at that point.
Yeah.
The offense was just, I remember, I think there was one game where they threw the ball like 6 times that year.
It was so bad.
It was so terrible. And, like, it would have just been a terrible situation to go in. And, like, look what happened to Mitch.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously I think Mahomes is a way better quarterback than Mitch ever was.
But it destroyed Mitch. It destroyed Mitch's chances of being somewhere else.
Yeah. And I also do think, like, a lot of what happens in the NFL is circumstance and confidence in yourself to play well and having people around you that believe in you. And, like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes would have had that in Chicago.
Yeah.
Not saying he still would have been a great quarterback, but I just don't think he would have become as good as he was. Right. Because he's pretty much his rookie year, which was the year he first played, not like the year he sat out.
Yeah.
He was an MVP.
Yeah.
So
Right away. Yeah.
But he also was an MVP right away, having Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and, you know, a solid offensive line and Andy Reid and all these other things that were going for him. So
yeah, I agree.
I think it's just the only bad things can come from looking back at the Bears and just being like, I wish we had, because you just assume everything would have gone well, you know?
And I think you can look around the league in general in the last couple years and say, like, if these two quarterbacks flopped spots, what would it look like? And we talked about this a lot during the offseason, as in, if Mac Jones was playing for the Bears last year and Justin Fields was playing for the Patriots last year, what would each of those have looked like? I think that Mac Jones, who people voted in the top 100 after his season last year with the Patriots, would have looked terrible on the Bears last year.
Yeah.
Terrible. People would have been like, bust, terrible. This is not good. Just because that's what the roster was. That's what the coaching was. Obviously, Bill Belichick to Matt Nagy. Those are like, you can just say that right there. But and then if you look at this year, we've made the comments a lot of times on here with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I think if Trevor Lawrence was in Chicago, he wouldn't look like Trevor Lawrence was able to look like, especially towards the end of the season, because Trevor Lawrence was sacked half the amount of times that Justin Fields was sacked. Trevor Lawrence had guys, and even though people criticized those Christian Kirks, and we were talking about that with Matt earlier, they worked out and they clicked. And Christian Kirk is a guy, he's a good receiver. I think he's more of a two, but I think he's a solid probably two, a higher tier two, in my opinion. Yeah. But they're about to get Calvin Ridley, so which should be good, but he also hasn't played football in 2 years, so we'll see. But I really do think that if you would have put Trevor Lawrence in the Bears situation where he was really having to run, they had to scheme him runs, there wasn't many options in wide receivers, he was getting sacked 55 times, it wouldn't have worked as well. Now, what if you put Justin Fields in Jacksonville? I'm curious as to what that would be. I honestly am not totally sure if he would look light years better, but I do think that the way that Coach Doug Peterson can play call would have probably won Justin Fields more games than he was able to win in the Bears with the roster that Jacksonville has.
Yeah, I mean, I think really it's just, I think the thing that Bears fans could be happy about is a lot of the time, and especially with the Mitch Trubisky stuff, Patrick Mahomes, we picked the wrong guy in a lot of scenarios where it's just like we had the chance to draft a certain player.
Yeah.
We went with this player. Like for me when I was a kid, like we drafted Cedric Benson over Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like 20 picks over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Cedric Benson had a fine NFL career.
Yeah.
Was never going to be Aaron Rodgers, you know? And so, but like right now,
I can't imagine loving Rodgers though.
You know,
like, do you know how
it's
weird
crazy. It's crazy.
It feels to think about that.
But I think something to look at now is just like we are in the position of privilege.
Yeah.
The Jets look at us and you're just like, what the hell were we thinking with Zach Wilson? The Niners.
Niners.
Trey Lance, same thing, you know? And like,
hot take, if the Niners had drafted Justin Fields, they'd be going to the Super Bowl
without a doubt, they'd be in the Super Bowl right now. And like, that was the team that everyone's like, oh, the Niners are going to trade up. They're going to go get Justin Fields now. Like, he's going to be perfect for Kyle Shanahan's system. And like, the next day, everyone's like, he loves Mac Jones. He loves Mac Jones. Like, Trey Lance. And everyone's like, Justin Fields, not a chance. Like, I was so confused.
We were like, what is happening?
But like,
okay.
Yeah, I'm happy about it. I'm very happy it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that the world of quarterbacks, it's so hard. And like, obviously, as Bears fans, we don't know what it's like to have a great one. Like, we don't know that feeling of having someone. This feeling we have right now is the closest we've had to that. And we don't even know for sure.
It's the feeling that we think it's coming.
Yeah.
It's not even the feeling itself.
That it's here.
You know, like.
But we're like going into this offseason saying this is the first time, and I don't even know how long that we've gone into this, into an offseason being like, we're good on quarterback.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it feels like we're good at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, like, there is such a part of me that, like, I very much am confident in the way Justin's going. But also at the same time, like, you hear all the other voices from everyone being like, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, all these guys are so good. And, like, we talked about it with Matt earlier. Like, it definitely is going to suck if we have the opportunity to draft one of those guys and they end up being way better than Fields.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, there definitely still is that, like, fear because of, like, we're Bears fans.
And, yeah, like, that's what
things
happens.
Have gone poorly for us pretty much forever. So, you know.
Well, and that's what it honestly, it is a scary feeling because you're sitting there and, like, we have the confidence that he can be the guy. We have the confidence that once he's not having to run for his life every single game and he has guys to throw to and, like, everything starts to click, you're really hoping. But there is always that slight chance that Bryce Young or CJ Stroud are dudes. And, like, in the next 3-4 years, we're like, dang, like, we picked Will Anderson that year and we could have had Bryce Young.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, like, I don't think – the thing that will make me feel a lot better is I really do think whoever we pick is going to be a stud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's what you have to, you're not going to nail everything. I think just for Bears fans, because the past, there's been so many big misses that is always lingering in our head. But I do think if we get one of those guys, and he mentioned Brazee, I've been hearing a lot about him. So if we do move past that 4, if we do go to the 7 or 9, getting a guy like Brazee, I think we're still going to have a very good player. And a ton of other picks to where hopefully, like he mentioned, we're trading back up into the first to get JSN or one of those receivers to help him. And so I think that's just the hope right now is we're focusing on Justin Fields as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and how do we make his job easier?
Yeah.
And part of that is getting him weapons and protection, but part of that is also him not having to come on the field down 20 points instantly.
Yeah.
And that's what happened so many times this last season, where it was just like the opposing team would go out, score right away. Justin Fields was already coming out down. Very rarely did we make a stop on that first drive. I want to say we actually had, it was like some record where it was like 12 straight games we let the opposing team score on the first
opening drive.
Can't let that happen. Can't let that happen. So things like that help also. And that's why, to me, I think it is so important to also address that defensive line and that linebacker position, because we've seen years where we've been so close, like in 2018, because our defense was so great. Now imagine having a great defense and Justin Fields, who's scoring 40 points a game. And I know Matt was like, you don't want to let him just run for 40 yards, whatever. Justin's going to have those runs because he's fast, he's quick, he can get out of it, he's breaking tackles. Those are going to continue to happen because that's who he is. He's not one of the guys that are going to slide when he sees any type of green. Like, he's going to go.
Yeah.
But you do want to limit those at a certain point because you don't want him getting hurt. And
taking hits is hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think this offseason, that's why it's so fun right now, because there's so many options. There's so many different opportunities for the Bears to have to make things better. And that's why a part of it, I wanted to talk to Matt, for him to just like share the process of how it really doesn't have to be a 3-4 year long process to make a team better. The Jags went from first overall pick to a divisional round playoff team in one season, and they really didn't do that much. They really, 6 key guys, Doug Peterson, and I don't even really count the draft picks, because other than Luke Fortner, in my eyes, Trayvon and Devin Lloyd didn't make a huge impact this season. Like, this season wouldn't have gone different if they didn't have Trayvon and Devin Lloyd, honestly.
Yeah, probably true.
But Foye Oluokun, Fadukasi, Evan Engram, Christian Kirk, Brandon Scherff, and Zay Jones, those 6 names made a massive impact on the Jags. Just six guys.
None of those are like crazy big names either.
Yeah.
By any
nothing.
Means. Like, they're very
they had
solid
to,
players.
They had to overpay them a little bit. I think the Jags had like $62 million to spend last year. The official numbers came out with that, by the way, and the Bears have, I think it was 99 million.
It's like 30 more than the next closest.
Yeah, the next is like 56 or something like that. So if the Jags were able to do what they did last season, and obviously there's going to be cuts, there's going to be maneuvering of some contracts, they'll start to figure things out. Like, the salary cap is a weird thing. But the Jags, with $62 million in free agency last year, were able to take a team from 3 wins to 9, from first overall pick to divisional round playoff, by adding 6 guys and a coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
and to me, I think we still need a little more proof from Eberflus and Getsy, but I think most people are confident in what they were able to do with the lack of what they had last season. So I think we are pretty confident that Eberflus and Getsy can be guys that can lead this team to winning football games. We're confident that Justin Fields can be that person. And I think where most people are pretty confident in the secondary being able to limit a lot of things, especially once you get help up front. So I really see it going very similar to what the Jags did.
Yeah.
Stud offensive lineman, veteran guy, got to do it. Someone in the draft, an offensive lineman in the draft that you know can come in and play, hopefully at center. Or Jason Kelce, even though he might retire if he wins a Super Bowl. But and then receiver, got to have at least one of those. A veteran guy, probably draft one. And then they added Foye and Fadukasi, add 2 defensive front guys, a linebacker. That's a major change already.
And not to mention, we have $30 million extra dollars to spend than they did.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's a good amount of money.
We have all the chance in the world. And the thing I will say that I definitely am a little afraid of is people being like, the defense is so bad, you need to address it. Is I don't want what happened to Cam Newton and Andrew Luck to happen to Justin Fields.
Yeah, me either.
To where everyone was just like, these guys are awesome. They're going to win games no matter what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of them being so awesome, the team was just like, all right, let's address the defense. Let's do this. Let's do that. And not give them the support and help
they
need.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Because those guys, their bodies fell apart.
Yeah.
Because they were just like,
we got
Cam Newton, we got Andrew Luck, they're studs.
Yeah.
They're going to make plays on offense. They're going to score no matter who is going to be our receivers. And maybe not as much in Andrew Luck's case, but in Cam's case, they're just like, we don't need a stud offensive line because he's just going to run away from everybody.
Yeah.
So,
and honestly, even kind of the path that, like, granted, the Bengals have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but they haven't fixed the line. And granted, the line also was beat up later, but he's already torn an ACL once, and he's getting hit constantly still. So that just, if I were the Bengals this offseason, I was like, we got to fix this line.
Yeah.
Like, everything else is pretty solid, but we've got to fix this offensive line because Joe Burrow is getting killed every single game. And last year, it was the same. The year before, it was the same. And so to me, I don't want it to get to that point. I don't want to be 2 years from now and being like, all right, our defense is great again, but Justin Fields has still been sacked 47 times. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be talking about that in 2 years. I want these numbers. I want those sack numbers to be half next year. Like,
I very much agree with that.
I want to see, and like Trevor, I think had 24 sacks. I want to, around that to 30, I'd be like, okay, that's an improvement. You know, like, I don't, you're going to allow sacks. That's going to happen.
I just want league average.
Honestly,
that's literally
stick around
it.
There. But like, 55 is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Especially, and we've mentioned it before, how many he's probably escaped. So it should probably be about 70 if you add the ones that Justin Fields has done his magic and
moved around
and gotten
out
of.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Yeah, we've got to change that. And that's why I kind of did like my rankings of what is most important in position group, in my opinion. And a lot of people, I get it because they all said like O-line first. And I was like, I get it. I just think the O-line, the offensive line, in my opinion, may be a little easier to fix than what people think. Number one, because I think one veteran guy would already make a big difference. We saw that with Brandon Scherff here in Jacksonville. But I also think that we didn't see any one offensive line last year. It's not like we had an offensive line that just sucked all year. We had 5-6 people playing different positions because
pretty much week to week.
Yeah.
I mean,
every
with
single
the
week
of Braxton,
it was different.
I don't think anyone played
Braxton
the same position.
Braxton played
the
every
yeah.
snap, and then Sam played almost every snap. I think he mixed a couple right when Lucas Patrick got hurt. But other than that, the left guard went through like 4 or 5 people. Right guard was pretty much rotated in the beginning, and then Tevin was in for the most, and then Tevin got hurt late, so that switched. But then right tackle was 15 different people.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think we can really judge our offensive line fully because it wasn't ever one offensive unit. It was so many different people in mixed rounds.
Yeah.
So I do think that as much as that needs to get changed, my number one is wide receiver because I just see what a difference that made for Jalen Hurts getting A.J. Brown, Josh Allen getting Stephon Diggs, Joe Burrow, even despite getting sacked a million times, having T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase gets him to the championship game.
Yeah.
So to me, wide receiver is the number one on my list because of that, but a very close second is offensive line, and a very close second behind that is defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, and I do think a lot of the things people will say, like, oh, you look at like the top paid receivers and like the top three guys. I don't remember exactly who it is. They're just like, they don't have any rings.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look right, look at the teams who are just in their conference championships. The Eagles have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Stud receivers.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes.
Who
just, it's,
that's
it
just
makes
like despite
the
whatever.
Other receivers better. But like, if you don't have Travis Kelce, I don't think they're nearly as good of a team.
Yeah.
You look at the Niners, they have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Look at the Bengals, they got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. So like, people will say,
and Kittle
with the Niners
Kittle,
as well.
Niners.
Yeah, and like, you're not, people always talk about like, oh, you don't want to have like a super high paid $25 million wide receiver these days. But it's so important to have a guy who can make plays and be the guy you can consistently rely on. And like, even look at the Eagles game the other night where like, A.J. Brown wasn't really doing anything, didn't do much. Devontae Smith step up, has one of the best catches that probably wasn't a catch that you've ever seen. And
that was insane, though.
When you have options for your quarterback to go places, it makes him play look so much better. And like Jalen Hurts, who did not play well last night, won the game fairly easily.
Yeah,
because he had weapons we could go to. You know,
The weapons he was comfortable with. And I think too, when you look at it, because obviously one of the questions we have to address as we wrap this up this offseason is what to do with guys like David Montgomery. And there's a lot of names out there. Josh Jacobs is available. Tony Pollard's available. Obviously, Saquon, we've talked about. There's a lot of good running backs out there. I think David Montgomery is a good running back. And when you look at the teams right now that, you know, we look at those final four, they have guys that are guys, but they're not the ones that are sitting up there in the top five. It's Pacheco, who like went off this season out of nowhere, but he looks really good.
He's also like a fifth or sixth round draft pick.
Yes.
Like, it's not
like,
even
you
crazy.
You can find them, and that's like, you can find the running backs there. But obviously, Joe Mixon, who had like, I like Joe Mixon, and it's weird because like every year I feel like he's like pretty hyped up, and it's like a little bit of a slow start, and then he gets going later in the year, and you're like, all right, Joe Mixon's like, he's a dude. Miles Sanders is available also, right?
Yes, yeah.
So he's another one that's available, and he's another guy that I feel like I feel like he's older than what he is. I feel like I've been talking about Miles Sanders longer than I've actually been talking about Miles Sanders, but I love Miles Sanders. But it's not one of these guys that you're getting, like, it's not Chubb, it's not Josh Jacobs, it's not Jonathan Taylor, it's not, well, Christian McCaffrey's in there, obviously. But
I think they brought him in, though, because they just didn't have a quarterback. Yeah. And it's like, we need something to move the ball.
To carry this, because it's not working.
Yeah.
So, like, they still have running backs that are good to great, but it's not the ones that you feel like you have to pay $1 billion for other than Christian
McCaffrey. There's no Jonathan Taylor.
But Christian McCaffrey obviously helps in many aspects on the football field. He's one of the more versatile running backs in the league. I had to play quarterback yesterday too.
That was so bad to watch. I felt so bad for the Niners fans. Because like I was looking at this thing, like this guy's like, I spent $2,000 to watch Josh Johnson play in an NFC championship game.
You're like, yeah, that sucks.
It's like,
you know
terrible.
Who else is a free agent?
Who's that?
Robbie Gould.
Hey,
bring him back.
Cairo's been solid, but hey, Robbie's always got a home in Chicago in my eyes. So.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, the main point of this episode for me is to just relax a little bit. Because I think that so many people think it's going to be like, and it's going to be this massive, long uphill battle that's going to take us 3-4 years. And by that time, Justin Fields' first contract's going to be done. And we're going to ruin him because we won't give him what he needs within this next couple years. But from what I saw personally here, it doesn't have to be that long of a build anymore. As long as, I almost just said Ryan Pace, Ryan Poles and Eberflus and the new Kevin Warren, but he's just more business.
I mean, he handles like the overall like direction of the team, but at the end of the day, I don't think he's really involved.
He's
going to
say, go draft this guy.
Yeah.
But so between Poles and between Eberflus and between Getsy's coaching the Senior Bowl, so he'll get some insight of guys that are playing well at the Senior Bowl and that he likes. So those things I think will help, but they do have to nail things. We can't go through this free agency, sign 6 guys and only 3 work.
Yeah.
We need it to be one of the things where we sign, you know, those 6-7 guys and 5-6 of them are instant impact to make this team better.
Yeah. And I think something else to look at is, if I recall correctly, 2017, the Chicago Bears were what, the worst team in the NFC North?
Yeah.
What happened in 2018?
Yeah. You win it.
We were easily winning it. So, like,
with
it's,
Mitchell.
It happens that fast. Like, it can happen that fast. And I'm not saying it's going to happen that fast, but with all the resources we have, it wouldn't shock me if it did.
And I think that also, as a Bears fan right now, you also want to, yes, you want to start winning and you want to see that impact come fast, but we also want some longevity in this. We don't want another one season of good, another couple seasons of good. We want to start spiking right now and this be a decade of the Bears are being competitive, especially with where the Packers are right now. The Packers potentially not having Aaron Rodgers or having Aaron Rodgers on the down end. And then also, it's Kirk Cousins. I mean, like,
I'm not afraid of Kirk Cousins.
They were in the playoffs this year and they won 11 games or whatever they ended up winning. They had a negative point differential.
They were
not a great football team.
The Vikings didn't put any fear in my heart at any point throughout the season at all. And I think that's probably the same for every other NFL team.
I'm more scared of the Lions personally than I am the Vikings. I think Jared Goff, when he's on, he's good and he's young. So there's still time that potentially that's going to work. They have a lot of weapons too. They've got to fix their defense also. It started getting a little better towards the end of the season, but Vikings and Detroit and us all have crap defenses right now. They're all bad.
A lot of points in the NFC North.
Yeah, so we all have to fix that. But it's a good time for the Bears to start getting better.
Yeah,
because we're in a position where if it goes the way that we want it to go and if Justin is the dude that we think he can be, then we are the ones that could be sitting at the top of the NFC North for the next 10 years, for the majority of those 10 years.
If we do it right.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. We just, polls, this is such a huge season and we're going to say that a million times in these podcasts in the off season because it's going to be very important.
Yeah, I'm excited, but I'm also terrified.
Yeah,
so let's see what happens.
I'm going to be like, free agency, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. Like, check my phone, we're going to be like, Bears sign. I'm going to be like, oh my God, did we sign?
Just notifications.
I just
on.
Hope I get a Bears sign T. Higgins or trade for T. Higgins. I'm going to be like,
as long as we can get some kind of good receiver at the end of the season, I don't really care how we get it. So,
yeah. All right, well, that is another episode of Making Monsters. We'll be back again later this week. We are going to talk to someone from the Rise and Draft site another draft type thing, and we're working on maybe some Senior Bowl stuff because obviously that's going on this week. So we'll start getting some intel of who's good, who's
bad. I'll call up Luke Getsy, get the early scouting report, see what he has to say.
Yeah, that's, I wish we could get Getsy on. That'd be funny, fun. But one guy that's not going to be there is Stetson Bennett. He's just out having a good time.
I'm waiting for the Baker video of Stetson to come out. That's what I mean, I get it, dude. Like, you just won a national championship, get drunk and disorderly. It's whatever. People, if anyone actually gets upset about that, you're not fun.
It's just, the problem is it's not his first time. It's his
third
time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's his third time getting in some sort of trouble for alcohol-related instances.
That's a little concerning, though.
Yeah.
I will say
And he's also 26 this year, so it's like, you're not 22 years old, like,
whatever. Yeah, Stetson is pretty much my age, which is, you know, like, he's still playing college football.
It's like you, like, showing up to work still drunk on Monday, and you were like, but I'm 25.
And I had a great day on Friday. Yeah. You know, I did so much good work.
Had a great weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we'll start working on some of that other things. Obviously, if anybody has any draft questions or people they really want us to look into, we're going to dive more deep into the draft as it goes. But obviously, at this point, we don't know.
We don't know what we're picking. We don't know who we're picking.
We don't know. Once free agency really hits too, then we'll know who they get. Okay, if they signed Daron Payne, for example, then we know that's going to shift some things.
Yeah.
So once those things start, it's going to be a domino of, okay, this happens. Now we kind of can start getting a feel of things, and we'll go a little deeper and into the other picks. So that'll be fun, but it's going to be a really interesting, scary, fun, exciting offseason. So I look forward to it. Again, thanks everybody, because our last episode did really well, and we appreciate you guys. I know everyone's really excited to just, like, hear Bears draft stuff right
They're
now.
They're excited to hear us, actually. Yeah. They don't care about the Bears.
But we
They're
haven't had a number
us.
One overall pick since the 40s.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
Most of the people probably listening to this were not alive in the 40s.
I'll say with some confidence, I think everyone listening to this wasn't
alive
in the
40s.
Yeah, I don't think there's one listener. And if there is, call me and tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is another episode of Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. We will catch you guys next week.
See you then.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.